Honorable Janche, is Section 194 not sitting today?
No, Chair, we are sitting Thursday.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if Janche is here.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Good morning, Honorable Mola.
Good morning, Chair. How are you?
I'm okay.
Thank you.
Oh, Honorable is not under the tree. That's wonderful.
Honorable Mola, I think maybe we need to speak today, maybe after the meeting.
Okay, not a problem, Chair. Not a problem.
So thank you very much. Welcome, Honorable Nsemang. Okay. Mr. Dupree, very good morning to you and to your team.
Good morning, Mr. Chairperson. With me morning, today. Chair.
Morning.
My apologies, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to introduce the team to you. It's Mr. Okay. Makubela Makukudubete, member of the team, and then of course Ms. Lisa Naidu, who is from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, who certified the bill, who is also assisting us with the Land Court Bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You are all welcome. Before we proceed, let's get if there are any apologies. Committee Secretary.
Good morning, Chair. We have received apologies.
You are cutting.
Chair, we have not received any apologies.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. There are no apologies. Members, I propose that on Friday, before we proceed with the business of the day, we deal with the minutes, the outstanding minutes, so that we are up to date. That is point number one. Point number two, we promised to circulate the program last week, but that program will need to change again because of the briefing we received last week on the drug trafficking appeal. We will look at after the closing date if there are any, if there's a need or if there are any comments made. Because if there are comments made, then we might need to, based on the nature of the comments made, we might need to do public hearings. If there are no comments made or there are no people who have indicated to want to present their views in person, then we will move straight to processing the bill. So there are a lot of ifs and ifs. So the program that we will always ensure that by Friday, we circulate the program of the next week, because it is the program that we have is no more reliable. I hope members would understand. And we are still waiting for the other bill, the JIGS bill. So that would always have an impact on our program. Thank you very much, members, Mr. Dupree, and to your team. Today we are dealing with the Land Court Bill. We will be dealing with the A list that Mr. Dupree and his team have cleaned it up, so that we can consider it today. Over to you, Mr. Dupree.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, with your permission, and I really appreciate you improving on the pronunciation of my surname.
Thank you very much. I was trained by Honorable Horn.
Right. And I presume Breitenbach as well. Chair, I would like to just quickly take you back to the working document that we prepared for the committee, just to show you within context the new proposed amendments to the bill itself. So I'm going to share that portion of the screen with you now. And you will note that it's working document number 4. We just renumbered it and changed the date to today's date. There's not much, but the blue highlights that you see on the screen at the moment, the committee has already had a view at and considered. The yellow, you will recall at the previous meeting of the committee that we have highlighted a couple of yellows for the committee's attention that we just need to, for example, now with the long title of the bill, bring it in line with the proposed amendments. So that will be a deletion added to the A list, and it has already been added to the A list, Mr. Chair. Chair, I apologize. This might become a bit tedious, but for safety's sake, it might be better for the committee just to see the additional amendments within context of the bill as a whole before we go to the A list. So there's not much at this stage. And I request your indulgence, please, just for me to scroll down until we see another yellow. The change in the committee's program kept us up very late last night, so please bear with us. With regard to clause two. Once again, the committee has already had a look at this, and it's just a question of cleaning it up since the Land Court of Appeal provisions will be deleted from the bill. We need to clean up reference to the Land Court of Appeal. If I remember correctly, Mr. Chair, We've indicated to the committee at the previous meeting that clause 42 of the act or of the bill will be deleted from the bill. So this is a consequential amendment just to avoid any confusion and reference to section 42 will then be removed from the bill. With regard to the appointment of judges, Mr. Chair, there is a proposed amendment and that relates to subclause 4 of the clause 8. And I don't know whether you would like to pause here, Mr. Chair, but the proposal is to indicate that the judge president, deputy judge president, and the judges of the court must be appointed as judges of the High Court, at least half of whom at any given time must, as far as practicable, have been judges at the time of their appointment. So this is what I would like to refer to as more of a substantive proposed amendment. I don't know whether the chair would like to pause here.
Yeah, let's pause here. Any comments, members, on clause 4? Honorable Horn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I can also confirm, as per your request, Mr. Dupree and I has had two conversations on this specific clause. And I have formulated, I want to say, slightly different proposal, which he said he thinks in terms of due process, and I agree with him, I must rather put on the table here this morning. And let me firstly say why I feel it is necessary. I feel that even if the 4A as it now stands there does clarify the issue somewhat, there might still be a situation created by the wording there where judges who are appointed to the land court may claim to have concurrent appointment through their appointment to the land court to the high court itself. So maybe just to substantiate it further, the way I understand the whole drive or the whole, let's say, the reasoning behind the fact that at least half of the judges appointed to the High Court must, as far as practicable, have been judges of the High Court already, is specifically to bring in and enable appointment through the JSC process of land matter specialists to these courts. That would then mean that once the JSC and the president in concurring with the JSC has identified these, the idea is that they be made judges of the land court. And even though the land court has the status of a high court, I don't think the intention is for them to have a parallel or concurrent appointment to a division of the high court simultaneously. So my proposal would be, Chair, that we move subsection A to the end of clause 8.3. And before we do that, we delete that first part, which says be appointed as judges of the High Court, and that we then add the at least half of whom at any given time must, as far as practicable, have been judges at the time they were appointed to the court at the end of 8.3. In my view, it will have no other effect but to clarify that this doesn't mean that judges appointed solely to the land court won't necessarily be entitled to a seat in other divisions of the High Court. As it is, the land court is elsewhere in the bill, declared to be of the status of a high court. So it's not diminishing the status of these judges in any way or form. So I hope I have properly explained why I feel this is necessary. But that would be my approach or proposal. Mr. Dupree indicated that he would also discuss that with his colleagues. He did not express a view on behalf of the department during our conversation. So I think that's as far as I can take it at this stage. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Breitenbach, are you on this point or on a different point?
Thank you, Chair. No, good morning, everybody. I'm on this point.
Okay.
Well, I agree with the proposal of the Honourable Horn, and I support it. I cannot imagine that the intention is to allow the judges who are appointed solely to the land court to have concurrent jurisdiction in all the courts. And you will know, as do I, from your experience on the JSC, that there are individual judges, and they're in the bare minimum, but it does exist, who get appointments to other courts in order to, after being there for a very short while, start applying for transfers to other high courts. So that possibility does exist, and we need to keep it in mind. And I'm sure it's not the intention. I also have a small difficulty with the words "as far as practicable." That allows a wide open bond door for abuse, in my view.
Yeah.
As far as practicable, so it's not practicable, so then it's inconvenient, so then you don't have to abide by it. I'm not comfortable at all with the words as far as practicable. And I would like to hear an alternative to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other view? Mr. Dupre?
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. I agree to the extent that I'm also very concerned that and with regard to the use of the word must together with as far as practicable. It simply just for me personally it doesn't make sense. What I would like to propose, Mr. Chair, is that now this is sort of, if I may call it that, a game of pickup sticks. Now, if we pull out one stick, we must make sure that the whole bundle doesn't stir. So what I would like to point out to the chair is that if we look at clause 9, and please accept my apology, Mr. Chair, because I need to read it myself now. But
maybe Mr. Dupre, maybe what we can do, was it the only substantive issue for discussion?
Mr. Chair, we can go on. There was also the whole issue of the qualifications of mediators. But I feel fairly confident, and I would like my colleagues, and I know I'm sharing the screen now, I would like my colleagues just to have a look then at the proposed amendment to subclause 3 then, with the proviso that the whole of paragraph A will then be deleted, but I can't see any obvious objection with regard to the inclusion of those words who may have been judges at the time they were appointed to the court. But you will have much more experience and your committee members, Chair, because you serve on the JSC. But I can't see any obvious red flags going up with regard to that. It still clarifies that existing judges may be appointed then as judges to the court.
Yes. Now, can we agree with that for now and move to the next one? Maybe we'll come back to it once we are done with all other issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For now, I don't see also any other different view. I think for now, let's agree to it. And then I will come back and ask members if there is anyone who has applied himself or herself differently. But if none, then we would adopt it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, if I remember correctly then, and once again, I'm scrolling down to the next yellow highlight. And if I remember correctly, it's clause 14 regarding mediation.
The qualification for mediation.
That is correct, Mr. Chair, but we are proposing, and I'll explain to the committee when we get to that provision. My apologies, it's not clause 14, but we'll get there, Mr. Chair. You will recall that the regulations section deals with, with regard to clause 19, this is merely a technical amendment that has been proposed at the previous meeting. I don't think there will be any problems there. Clause 19, of course, dealing with witnesses. Uh, in clause 22, Mr. Chairperson, we have already included it in the A list, but it's just a question of removing a reference to provincial and merely referring to A division of the High Court in line with the Superior Courts Act. I apologize if this becomes tedious, Mr. Chair, but it's important for us as drafters as well just to go through the working document in order to ensure that our A-list is in line with the proposed amendments by the committee. It creates a bit or additional work, but at the end of the day, it's safer to do it this way. Mr. Chair, I would like to, and I must apologize to the committee, we haven't had the opportunity previously to check this issue. It was comments that we received, and initially we agreed, but we haven't had the luxury of accessing the Principal Act, which is actually the Restitution of Land Rights Act. The proposal in the committee or by interested parties or a party was made that the reference to state land, state, should be included in this provision, but we have double checked it, and it is not about state land, but it is more about the process or the procedure provided for in the distribution and transfer of certain State Land Act, the 93 Act. And this is a provision that was actually extracted from the Restitution of Land Rights Act. So what we would like to propose to the committee is that reference to state should rather be omitted from the provision itself, because then it is totally in line with the Restitution of Land Rights Act. So with your permission, Mr. Chair, we have double checked this, and we are quite sure that or certain that this should not be, or reference to state should not be included in the in this provision.
Any contrary view, members? And it's fine. It has been agreed to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then, we are now dealing with a provision that relates to mediation. It appears the proposed amendments might appear to be intimidating, but the majority of them have been copied from the regulations provision. The proposal now is to insert this provision in clause 29 dealing with mediation. And I think
Mr. Dupre, can you just allow us 2 minutes? Can you move backwards?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm going to do that for you. I apologize. I just want to highlight this to you, this portion. This portion, this was the issue that was raised in the committee previously. So we are saying, or we are proposing to the committee that the rules board must make rules for the appointment of a mediator, the procedure for referral of matters to mediators, the process by which mediation is initiated and the form and content and use of that process, the joinder of any person having an interest in the dispute, proceedings of mediation, and then forms to be prescribed to be used by the parties in the mediation process. Then also the right of any party to be represented by any person or category of persons in any mediation proceedings, including the regulation or limitation of the right to be represented in those proceedings. The consequence for any party to the mediation proceedings for not attending the proceedings concerned. And this is the important part then, which were highlighted at the previous meeting, is the qualification for the appointment of mediators. So the rules board will provide rules in that regard as well. The fees that are payable for mediation, and then the appointment powers and functions of a mediator, and then also rules with regard to orders being issued at the conclusion of the proceedings.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn. You were the sponsor of this clause. Are you happy now?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Now, I think that addresses my concerns sufficiently.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn. Any other member? None. Honorable Nibot Trohan, followed by Honorable Yako.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, a bit slow. I just wanted to ask the question related to state land, the section that Mr. Dupria handled just before this. Can I ask that question?
Yes, Honorable Nagotohan.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very, very sorry to take us back. I just thought now, you know, why was the word state, in terms of state land, why was it put there in the first place and now we want to remove it? So I just like the background of why it was inserted in the first place. Thank you, Chair.
I think if I understood Mr. Dupree, is that one of the parties that were making a presentation during the public hearings made that suggestion, but upon further inquiry, they discovered that it is covered under this Act of 1993. That is why it is not necessary for us to put the word state, but it was suggested by one of the parties during the public hearings.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure whether I misrepresented you, Mr. Dupree.
No, Mr. Chair, thank you. That is the answer to that. We had a relook at it and we realized that the whole issue with regard to rights in terms of land relates to the procedures set out in that Act and not necessarily only apply to state land. So it was sort of a question of copying the process into the Restitution of Land Rights Act, and that's why we need to copy it here as well.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yako.
Thank you very much, Chair. I I don't know how to phrase this in a way that would make sense to the committee without disregarding the work that the committee has done in terms of this bill. However, for me, it's sad that we don't have land that is under the custodianship of the state anyway. And we don't have, we have to then go to the land court for people then to apply for, you know, to get the land. So I don't know, it's mostly just a comment. It's not even a question. It's just a comment on this, in that this bill, I don't know, it bothers me in some way, but we're here now. So I just needed to register my mind and what I was thinking about the process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure whether I should allow Mr. Dupree to respond, because I think it's more of a question for political debate.
It is, Chair, yeah. It's not for him to answer me or, yeah, it's not his role.
Mr. Chair, okay. With your permission, I would like to maybe introduce the debate that would follow later. And I would, with your permission, also ask Mr. Makudubete to maybe add if I left something out. But it's a very... Let's start with the framework of the bill itself. You will recall that we've mentioned to the committee on numerous occasions that the bill is not intended to affect or amend the substantive law when it comes to land distribution and land reform. Those issues are regulated in terms of existing legislation. So the aim of this bill is to create the structure that will eventually adjudicate disputes arising from the application of those separate pieces of legislation. But, Mr. Chair, and that is precisely why there is, for example, an act like this one. The state, and if I remember correctly, and Mr. Makudubete would be able to assist me here and indicate to the committee that we do have statistics statistics with regard to the amount or number, I don't know precisely how to put it, of land being owned by the state. So it is something that the committee will consider, and it's a starting point for future debate, but it's not entirely correct, if I may say so, to say that the state doesn't own any land. I don't know, Mr. Chair, whether Mr. Makudubete would like to add something. Maybe if he could just give us an indication whether he would like to add to that. But this is a very important aspect, and it's a very important issue being raised. But from our side and from the viewpoint of the Land Court Bill, that is the answer that we can give to you at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Makulubete?
Yes, thank you, Chair, and good morning to you and honorable members. Chair, I will do an injustice to add to what my colleague, Mr. Dupree, has just addressed. What we are doing here is just to create a court structure, and we are not trying to deal with substantive law, because that is contained in various pieces of land, most of which are administered by the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. So ours as justice is to create a structure in the court, in the form of a court, where the disputes emanating from those pieces of legislation are going to be adjudicated. That's all I can say in relation to this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think let's proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, just to bring the committee then back to the proposals, and I think if I read the committee correctly, this proposed amendments will be accepted by the committee. Yes. I apologize, I didn't double underline it to show that it's insurgents, but it doesn't really matter because the important thing is the A-list, Mr. Chair. And then to proceed, Mr. Chair, yes, once again, this was just something that we picked up after we previously had interaction with the committee. It's just a question of ensuring that in as far as processes are concerned, it must be provided for in the rules. So to a certain extent, the principle has been accepted by the committee, and this is merely a consequential amendment. I apologize. I just need to remind myself. Thank you, Chair. Then I think there might be two or three more proposed amendments in the text of the bill. And if I remember correctly, they are...
If I may assist, Chair, my colleague may just scroll down to page 62. Thanks.
Thank you for that, colleague, but let's make sure. Now, on page 62, Mr. Chairperson, you will recall that the provision we just had a look at related to mediation. So the proposed or the provisions to be deleted here were now included in the provision dealing with mediation, bar one exception, and that is the whole issue of legal assistance with regard to legal aid South Africa. So we omitted that provision and we included it here to ensure that the minister may make regulations, among others, then with regard to legal assistance. That is also mainly a technical consequential amendment, Mr. Chair. We don't think it's appropriate for the rules board to make regulations or rules with regard to legal assistance. That is the prerogative of the minister as per the existing law. And then that is to a large extent then the working document, Mr. Chair. And with your permission, I would like to ask Mr. Makurubete, and I'll scroll through the schedule, but he's much more experienced in the schedule than I am, because he worked with these or he worked much more than myself with regard to the schedule. So I would like to hand over to Mr. Makurubete, and he can just instruct me on where he wants to go.
Thank you, Chair. The schedule that we have appended to the bill, if I may recap, was to list the various pieces of legislation which we are proposing that they should be, or the matters arising therefrom should be adjudicated are born in the land court. So essentially, we are giving the land court exclusive jurisdiction in respect of pieces of legislation that we that relate to land as contained in the schedule. On the page that is in front of us, dealing with the upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act, we are inserting in section one, that will be the definition clause. Before the definition of the Deeds Act, we are inserting there the definition of court to mean the land court established by section three of the Land Court Act 2022. This will be to essentially give the court the exclusive jurisdiction, that is the land court, to deal with matters arising out of the upgrading of the Tenure Rights Act. Yes, Chair?
Yes, we have dealt with this issue before. I think if we can focus only on the areas where you have made changes, let's say, for instance, from 2021 to 2022, because we have
yes.
Honorable Horn. Honorable Horn, your hand is up.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And I want to say I, on the one hand, apologize because we're getting at the tail end of our processing of this bill. So I don't want to be seen as somebody who's just putting another boulder in the road every time. However, and I'm not claiming for this to be my special insight, I've noted on social media that the question has been raised by some commentators as to whether it is really the intention of Parliament through these changes effected in the schedule, which give the Land Court exclusive jurisdiction in respect of matters where the Magistrates Court previously enjoyed jurisdiction, whether it's really our intention to take away those jurisdictional aspects in relation to the Magistrates Court. And the argument, and I think that's where it's important for us to have at least a discussion, is that it ultimately goes to the heart of access to justice. And after looking at it, after reading the social media comments, I realized that I do believe it's a valid argument. As we know, the Land Court at this stage will have a seat in Johannesburg, although it is within the authority of the judge president to permit or authorize or direct sittings anywhere in the country. But my understanding at this stage is not that the capacity of this court initially will be of such a nature that it will be able to really prevent the situation where access to justice, which is at this stage available through the Magistrates Court, will not be impacted on through these provisions. I mean, at the moment, people, if they can access the Magistrates Court, we hope that it is within a geographical area or a distance that would not place an undue burden on them. And of course, processes in the Magistrates Court typically are much less expensive than in a High Court. We know the Rules Board might go ahead and, for example, say then when it is issues of, for example, evictions under ESTA and PI, the Rules Board might go ahead and say the costs in those cases are limited to Magistrates Court tariffs, so that it can be sorted out in that way. But the big fear still remain whether it is really our intention through giving the Land Court that exclusive jurisdiction to in theory place that additional burden and additional barriers to access to justice in front of litigants in respect of eviction issues. So I don't know whether it's something we missed, whether it is really the intention of the department. I would assume they would have consulted internally with other departments like the Land Affairs Department on this specific issue. but I felt that after considering the social media comments on this, that I would be under an obligation to raise this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mukulbete.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to Honorable Horn for raising that issue. It is a very important issue to raise, and I was hoping that it will be dealt with at some stage later when the committee deals with the bill clause by clause. However, what I can say is that during the processing of this bill, we have had thorough consultations with various departments, and mainly the interministerial committee departments that have been established by the president, chaired by the deputy president. Through those processes and engagements, it was suggested that mainly by the Department of Agriculture to say that they have experienced through their dealing with land matters that the many matters that have been dealt with in the magistrates' courts do end up in the high courts by way of an appeal or review. As a result, the suggestion, the proposal was made that the jurisdiction of the court should rather be taken away completely so that the litigants do not have to incur costs in the magistrate's courts in the first place, and then further costs in the high court by way of an appeal. This matter was deliberated upon, and we have engaged with our principals relating to that, because our initial stance as the department was not in support of that, essentially for the reason that has been raised by Honorable Horn, to say that to do away with the magistrate court jurisdiction will be to disadvantage litigants, because now, instead of having been able to adjudicate matters in the magistrate court, they will be forced to go directly to the high court. However, through the engagement, it was ultimately agreed that the jurisdiction of the magistrate court should be taken away. Obviously, that will mean many matters that will have been dealt with in the magistrate's courts will have to go directly to the high court. Hence, Chair, you will recall we have mentioned through the processing of this bill in this committee, through those engagement, we have identified about 33 pieces of legislation which are land-related. However, so as to not inundate the court, that is the land court, we could not place those matters under the exclusive jurisdiction of the land court, so as not to overburden the court, essentially. Hence, we have agreed that we will stick, and we have identified the very important piece of legislation that must immediately be placed under the exclusive jurisdiction of the court. Hence, this schedule restricted to at least the 9 pieces of legislation at this stage. However, Chair, in short, it is the intention of the department, through the engagements with the various departments, that the jurisdiction of the magistrate court be taken away so that matters can be dealt with in the high court, even though then there will be that prejudice of the litigants having to go to incur costs in the high court. However, the bottom line is that they will still incur costs as most matters end up in the high court by way of an appeal. Chair, with all that, I do not know if my colleagues may want to add something that I have not touched upon. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mukulbete, did the Department of Agriculture and Land Reform in saying that many matters end up in the High Court. Did they give any form of statistics? Because you can have maybe 80, 100 matters, but out of how many? Because for us to take that right away, which is issue of access, it should be really based on something really concrete. Because we are balancing the issue of access to courts and access to justice, affordability, and the issue of efficiency of justice. But if they just argue that broadly that most of those cases end up in the High Court anyway, but did they really substantiate in terms of concrete stats?
Chair, thank you for that question. That is a very important one. Chair, I do not recall, I'm subject to correction if my colleague, Mr. Dupree, can maybe assist me on that. I do not recall us being given a statistics of those matters that will end up in, that have ended up in the High Court. What we have done, we did get the statistics of how many matters were dealt with in the magistrates' courts, and what will be the impact, because we wanted to check the inflow of those matters when they are transferred to the High Court. So we had the statistics of, in respect of these various pieces of legislation, as to how many matters are dealt with in the court and how many ended up in the High Court. I do not recall this being given the statistics of those that go to the High Court by way of an appeal. We have the statistics of the matters in the Magistrates' Court and in the High Courts. It is a very important question to raise by the chair, and I must confess that I do not recall seeing those stats. And unless my colleague Mr. Dupree can assist in terms of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Horn.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. That was the one issue I wanted to also raise in response, but let me then hasten to add to say that in my view, even if a relatively small percentage of matters do not go beyond the magistrate's court, then it is something that we should consider as relevant. And the second thing that in my view must be relevant, Chair, is that we should take note of the fact that typical of the way in which high courts operate is that you would find very congested court rolls, which in itself would, even if one discounts all of the other arguments around access to justice already made, will have an impact on the ability of the courts to give speedy resolution to these matters. Unless, as I say, and at this stage we have no indication, unless the idea is really to set up a very robust bench by way of the number of judicial officers that would be appointed to the Land Court. But then, of course, we know from recent history in the way the government has struggled through, I want to say, budgetary limitations, of course, to give proper effect to, I want to say, the capacitization of recently established provincial divisions of the High Court, that we cannot just accept that this will go seamlessly in terms of an ability to appoint a large bench initially to this court. So I'm very worried about these jurisdictional matters also from that perspective. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other member? Mr. Dupree, Mr. Nakulumeta, if you were to split the jurisdiction between the magistrates and the land court, how much work will you need? How much time will you need?
My apology, Mr. Chair. Please go, Mac.
Chair, I think that will be a lot of work that will be needed there. Because you remember what we are doing there is to insert or to delete, to remove the jurisdiction of the magistrate court and place the land court at the center of this piece of legislation as the forum for adjudication. Now, I must confess that I'm thinking aloud here to say that if we were to delete the schedule, and it will need us to go back to the drawing board and then see what will that mean in terms of the rest of the bill, because the bill was structured to give the court the exclusive jurisdiction. I must say it will require us to go back to the drawing board. I don't know if my colleague, Mr. Dupree, has another view that will assist the committee in this regard. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, at this stage, I think there's one of two options available. The first option I just highlighted to you, and we've purposefully included subclause 2 in the short title and commencement provision to provide for different dates of commencement of proposed amendments to the schedule. So I don't know whether this assists the committee. Chair, I promise you, if you need us to do additional work, especially with regard to the A-list, we'll do that as soon as possible. However, I'm in the committee tomorrow with the hate crimes bill, and we're going to submit 2 documents during the course of the day to you, the summary of submissions and also once again a working document. But this is what I can propose at this stage. The committee may decide to run with the proposed amendments in the schedule, and then when it comes to commencement, then those issues can be addressed. Or in the alternative then is to remove the proposed amendments where the committee feels that the whole issue of access to justice will suffer in the process, if I may put it that way.
There is a proposal of a staggered implementation. Two dates in the proclamation. Any views? Honorable Hon?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. That would of course mean that we leave the executive to do in the circumstances the right thing, which I mean, and I'm not now speaking as an opposition member. I don't think if the legislature can properly regulate something, it should be left to the executive in the circumstances. That's the first issue. The second issue is if we're going to, in a staggered way, implement the act, I think the other danger is that you would then dilute the operation of the land court. To my mind, the ideal would be for the magistrates court and the land court to enjoy a concurrent jurisdiction in respect of these matters, so that those who wish to approach the High Court as the court of first instance or the land court as the court of first instance can do so. And that, of course, can address some of the practical issues identified by the departments. So personally, and I don't want to make work for the department, as I said right when I raised this issue, to an extent, I feel ashamed that we did not pick up on this earlier, but I would personally not be in favor of trying to manage this through that subsection of the last clause of the bill. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'm afraid I agree with Mr. Horn. I think that we will be, if we leave this up to the executive, we will be accused of abdicating our duty, which is not something I look forward to. And I think it's a risky and a pretty reckless approach. So I don't support it. Thanks.
Mr. Dupree, given the amount of work you and your team are dealing with, tomorrow you will be presenting on the hate crime, hate speech. So how much time do you really need to do the right thing?
Mr. Chair, maybe just as a matter of clarity, and if I understand the committee correctly, then the committee would prefer to replace reference to the High Court with the Land Court, but to retain the principle of concurrent jurisdiction. Is that conclusion correct, Mr. Chair?
Okay, let me check. There's also Honorable Breitenbach whose hand is up. Honorable Breitenbach.
Sorry, old hand, sorry.
I think my understanding is that, Honorable Mr. Dupree, unless there is a member who's got a different view. Honorable Horn?
No, Chair, thank you. Yeah, no, that was, well, my thinking, and I can't profess to speak on behalf of the committee, but I would think that the way to go would be to have concurrent jurisdiction in order to not limit access to justice. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Dupree, that is the answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, and I'm not looking for excuses, but at this stage we're facing uncertain times. Let me not go there. Let me just answer your question. I think, and I'm speaking under correction because my partner in crime will tell me that we will be able to do it or not, but I apologize, and I apologize profoundly to the committee. We will be able to work over the weekend. We will attempt our very best to provide then these amendments, because we're only looking at what is called the PIE Act, the Prevention of Illegal Eviction from Unlawful Occupation of Land Act. But there might be other legislation that we, in this schedule, that we also need to look at. My apologies, Chair. But we will be able to give feedback to the committee secretaries on Monday whether we are ready to submit then a redrafted working document as well as a redrafted A-list. But this is a very important aspect, and we will follow the instructions by the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, I would like to make a proposal that also in fairness to them, we should really consider the practicality of having to move with two bills at once, that it is really unbearable for the officials concerned. Maybe we can tomorrow receive a briefing on the responses. I think after tomorrow, let's just allow them this time just to focus on the land bill. And that is the first one, to focus on the land bill. And then once we are done with the land bill, maybe they would come on Tuesday to give us an update as to how far they are. Then once we are done with the land bill, then we proceed with the other bill, because there will be no point in pushing through production that might be faulty. We are dealing with human beings. There is so much that also they can do. Drafting a legislation is not a child's play. So I would really appeal to members that even if possible, my first preference would have been to allow them even tomorrow for them to really focus on this bill. And we really rework the program. We give them from tomorrow, Wednesday, that is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Tuesday, then we can have a discussion on the progress that would have been made, with the hope that we would be concluding the bill very soon, so that we just don't push two bills at once. I think it is going to overstretch them unnecessarily. We did that with this one because we thought that today we were finalizing it, and the issue that was raised in the committee by Honorable Horn is something of serious substance. I think it would be important that we have to focus on this bill for now, and then once we are done, then we will deal with the other bills. I'm also concerned about the pressure that they are under as drafters. That is my proposal, members. Any comments?
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any dissension?
No.
No dissension. So tomorrow, you will have the whole day to yourself. Maybe what we can do tomorrow is to deal with the issue of minutes. Committee Secretary, what issue can we deal with tomorrow, which is ready? That will not include Mr. Dupree and his team.
It can only be the adoption of minutes.
Mr. Chair, may I assist in this regard? And I know we're going out on a limb, but we have been working towards presenting the summary of comments to the committee on the hate speech bill. And we have also prepared a working document to the committee. We really don't want to derail the committee's program. So I would go out on a limb and I would like to say that we will be able to present the responses to the comments to the committee on the hate speech bill. That summary is 33 pages long. It's a very short bill, but we've received, as you are aware, a lot of comments. And we can also, and what we would like the committee to do is, I just don't know how we're going to achieve that, but we would like to share two screens with you so that you have the advantage of looking at the summary of the comments as well as the working document, because it's always better to reference back to the working document or the bill as a whole. That's only a proposal from our side, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, if I can add something on that, please.
Proceed.
Yes, thank you, Chair. With all that, Chair, I am prepared to start working on the amendments in the absence of my colleague, Mr. Dupriet, while he's busy engaging with the committee tomorrow, so that at least once he's done with the committee, if that is the route that we are taking, once he's done with the committee tomorrow, then we can touch base and then discuss the amendments that I would have come up with as directed by the committee. I am prepared to do that on my own in the absence of Mr. Dupriet. Thank you, Chair.
So we agree that on Tuesday you would be more or less ready to proceed, that we proceed with the Land Court Bill.
That is correct, Chair.
Okay. So generally it would be this issue and the schedules, and then we go to the A list on Tuesday.
Thank you, Chair. And we will, since I am in the committee, and I just, by the way, I would like to mention to the committee that it's always better to work in a team, because we've got two different teams for these two bills. So it makes simply sense to work in teams on bills. But I am going to be in the committee, and I will be able to, if I have positive feedback, to give that to the committee with regard to the further development of the amendments to the Land Court Bill. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. So we will proceed as planned tomorrow with the hate crime, hate speech bill. And then we will sit with the committee secretariat and look at the program for next week. I'm not sure what we were going to be dealing with next week, but I thought that it was going to be hate crime, hate speech. And we will try and ensure that we finalize the Land Court Bill next week, Tuesday, if possible. But we would, next week we must finalize the Land Court Bill. And then tomorrow we will deal with this. Let's deal with the minutes and deal with the hate crime, hate speech bill. Is that in order, members?
That's fine.
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other issue or issues, Mr. Dupriet and Mr. Makulubete?
Not from my side. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Nothing from my side either, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we have come to the end of the meeting. We'll meet tomorrow at 9:30. For hate crime, hate speech, and the minutes will be distributed today. Thank you very much.
Ngozi, Chair. Ngozi.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.